33 this morning. Jeremiah 33. Appreciate the singing.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. I'd encourage you to hear the Word of God this morning. If you could give attention for about a little bit this morning to hear what the Lord says, it'd be a blessing to your own heart. The Bible said in verse 1 of chapter 33 of the book of Jeremiah, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." Now, in this context here, God's talking to Jeremiah. You really can't apply it to just him, I reckon, but you apply it to your own personal life, that God's given him a promise here in the Scripture. In chapter 31 through 34, there's a great a change right here in some of the things that God said to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, of course, was a prophet of God, a weeping prophet, as known in the Scriptures. Jeremiah, thank God, was in a dark time in the days of Israel. They had forsaken God, forsaken the ways of God. And if you read the prior chapter, he said, "They've turned their back and not their face to me. They did not take heed to God's word. They went after Baal, and they've done all kind of wickedness. And God was angry with them." The Bible said it caused Judah to sin. He talked about how they even offered their own children up to Molech, and they was burned in the fire. That's a heathen practice, and I'm not going to get off on all that. I know that people choose to do what they want to, but Jesus didn't burn his body. It was buried. Amen. I think a Christian people ought to have a rightful burial, don't you? I think that's the right way God set that thing up. And I'll stay there with it, and I'm going on. But I'm telling you, they offer their children up, and they've done all kind of wickedness in the eyes of God. This time, Jeremiah is in the prison. He's under the authority of a guard there. And this was his sanctuary. And I won't tell you this morning, we've got so mined this world today, my friend, that we've made only a building of the sanctuary of God, but there's more sanctuaries than the building we're in. The Bible said in the New Testament that the body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, and it's not made with hands of men. Amen. So we know that we meet with God within us. We know we have God in us. And we know in this day God spake to Jeremiah, who was the prophet of God, and he met with him in a prison house. Amen. Listen, God's not limited where he can go. God's not limited at what God can say to you, no matter where you're at this morning. You could be in your own personal prison, in your own mind, in your own heart. Thank God this morning, friend, I'm telling you, God can help you, amen, and give you grace in the time you're going through. But then in verse 2, he just made known to Jeremiah that he had, thank God, that built, established Jerusalem. He had established this thing, that he chose out the Jew, thank God, who was few in number, but it was God's people that God had chose out, amen, the nation of Israel. Amen. Listen, it was an extra blessing from God this morning, amen, even though all we know in the New Testament, amen, that God's not disfavoring only God of people there, that if everybody's been saved, that God puts his favor in. We're children of Abraham by faith in the spiritual family, amen. Listen, that's why Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. He was a Jew, friend. Hey, God, but that's because he had a first birth. That would not get him into the kingdom of God. He had to have a second birth. And it don't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. Amen. You have to be saved by the grace of God if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. And so we're, my friend, spiritual. Amen. The family of God, spiritual. spiritual. Amen. Let's stand. Thank God here. He said to Jeremiah, thank God, he said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And so there's two things that's going to have to take place here. And the first one is, Jeremiah, call unto me. Amen. Cry out to me. Pray to me. And he said, I will answer thee. Thank God, there's an answer from God. But God don't answer unprayed prayers, friend. God only answers what? Thank God, a man calls out to him about. And God's faithful in it. And thank God for that. But I'm telling you this morning, if you don't pray, don't expect an answer. Amen. Right. A lot of people don't pray. Amen. Somebody asked J. Hal Smith one time. He said, how often do you pray? He said, all the time. He said, in my heart I'm praying. See, the Bible said pray without ceasing. How you do that? Well, you do it from your heart. You do it from your heart. But what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What's in here comes out. How in the world? I'm just going to preach this. Well, how in the world? Thank God that this Holy Ghost that lives in us never come out of you. That's impossible, friend. Amen. I'm telling you, it's impossible to have a God in you and the emotions of God in you. And I did say emotions too, brother. If you serve a dead God, that's about what deadness you got. But my dead God's not dead, and the Holy Ghost surely ain't. Because He is the Lord of the Spirit, and He is God. And He does manifest Himself through outward emotion. Amen. God, my friend, thank God, is energy. Amen. I mean, you take God, friend, He is a source of energy in the individual through the power of God. And friend, I'm telling you this, it's impossible, thank God, to have God in you and it not come out of you. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, when the Holy Ghost comes in a man to live, thank God, he has life. And brother, he has spiritual life. And spiritual life comes from God. And so we got to pray to him. It ain't whether, my friend, thank God, whether you want to. It's because you got God in you. The Holy Ghost is the one that unctionizes you. Thank God to call on God this morning. Amen. The problem of the church today is we just got too much. What do you need from God? Huh? Materialism's just killed the church. We all got good cars. I'm thankful for it. We got a good home to live in. Got a little money in your pocket. What you need God for? You want to get in the prison with this man of God? This man of God lived that he was in prison. Spent a lot of time in the dungeon. Spent a lot of time in discouragement. He even one time said, I'm going to quit. He said, my familiars watch for my halting. They smote him. Threw him in the prison house. And here this man of God continued only because of God and what God had done for him in the calling of God. His daddy was a priest. Amen. Listen, friend. This man knew something about ministry. He knew something about the call of God. He knew that God sent him in a dark day to preach and prophesy to that nation. And brother, he's here. He is down in the prison house. He's in a hard time in his life. But the word of the Lord came to him. I tell you, I'd rather have the word of the Lord come to me in the prison house and sit, thank God, in the sanctuary and never hear from God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you better listen to me this morning. A lot of hardship in our lives is when God speaks to us. A lot of hardship we go through is when God calls us. And God said, call unto me, Jeremiah, and I will answer thee. Amen. That's not just a general statement. That is a biblical truth that God told this man. And Jeremiah, he's talking to him. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I'm telling you, if you're saved this morning and you're one of God's children, you got access to the Father, and you can call on and thank God and hear from Him today. I'm telling you, praise God, His ear's not heavy that it cannot hear. Thank God you can't hear this morning. Thank God you call on Him, He'll hear you, thank God. The reason He don't hear you, don't call. That's right. Amen. I could preach a lot of things right there. You need wisdom this morning. I watch people in the house of God, and I watch people outside the house of God. And boy, we live in a day of lack of wisdom. Wisdom is something that God said ask for. God said He didn't lack of wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberty and upbraideth not. Amen. Wisdom is how to apply knowledge. Wisdom is how to do something. Knowledge is knowing about it. Wisdom is knowing how to do something with it. And we lack it in this day. Friend, listen, Jeremiah. Hey, God, no doubt in times of his discouragement, he, my friend, was weary with forbearing. He was weary with this battle. He said, praise God. He said, I'm just going to give up. In other words, he said, I'm not going to speak in His name no more. Thank God. But he said, His word was in me like a fire in my bones. And I could not stay right there. Thank God. He said, I'm weary, but I know that I got a message. Amen. Even when they asked Him one day in the book of Jeremiah, thank God, they said, is there a word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Amen. Thank God. Now maybe you want a word from the Lord. I'm going to tell you, God, you don't have a word from the Lord unless He gives you a word from the Lord. These bunch of smart aleck preachers and people say, well, I got something to say. You better know God give it to you. Somebody told me one time, well, there are 66 books of the Bible. Looks like you could preach them. Well, you don't understand. You just don't get up and preach. You've got to get a word from the Lord. If you don't get a word from the Lord, son, you just might as well, thank God, tell the church to pray and ask God to help you because you're not going to say nothing that comes from God. You can read the Bible, and that's we ought to read the Scripture. It was read in the churches, friend, and the Bible, the Scripture needs to be read. Amen. That's exactly right. But if you're going to get something from God, He's got to speak to you. Amen. If you got a word from the Lord, and Jeremiah said there is a word from the Lord, and it wasn't, thank God, my friend, something that he read in the Daily Bread. It was something God told him, amen. The Holy Ghost told him. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if you get in the book and study the Word of God, He'll bring them things to your remembrance through the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. And He'll sit on your life. But if you live like a robot, amen, and never fellowship with Him, how in the world is He going to talk to you, amen? Amen. God communes through a spirit. Many people don't know about the spirit life, but I'm telling you this, that's the only life there is. Amen. Listen, they didn't have the indwelling spirit, but they did have the spirit to come upon these men. And so what were them great mighty things that God was going to show Jeremiah? He said, notice what he said. He said here, and I'll show thee. How's he going to show them? How do you see things? See, the Bible says no man can see the kingdom unless he's born again. You can't figure this out. It's not figured out by flesh. It's not figured out by education. It's not figured out by humanity. It's known by God showing some things. Now, God showed me the day I got saved. God showed me where I was with God. God showed me I was a lost sinner. God showed me I was undone. God showed me I was full of sin. God showed me I was lost. And unless God shows you them things, you'll not see where you're at with Him this morning. Amen. That's right. Has God ever showed you what you are? We got people sitting in the Baptist church and they more righteous than God is. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, you better know one thing. the only righteousness you have been imputed to you and put on your record by the Lord God, and you're not righteous in yourself. It's the righteousness of God Almighty. And friend, this morning, if God ever sets on you, He'll drain everything out of you and bring you to end of yourself, that you'll have to look to Him and not yourself. Because, friend, if He ever shows you them things, thank God, you'll make a beeline to God. Amen. You don't even have to have them give you an imitation. A lot of people get these imitations, you know. They'll sing 15 verses of just as I am to try to get somebody to come pray. Boy, I didn't have to have that. Thank God, God sat on me and showed me what I was. Amen. And I didn't have to have nobody tell me. Listen, I didn't have a man there but the Holy Ghost. When God saved me, there wasn't nobody there but the Holy Ghost. And what had been preached in my heart, and God done the work. Amen. Listen. Hey, God got to show you. He said, I'll show you great and mighty things. If you read the rest of this chapter, I believe He showed him or opened his eyes up. Thank God to what He's going to do for the nation of Israel after the captivity in Babylon. Thank God that He was going to deliver them. Thank God and bless them and restore them because He did have a covenant with them. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you one thing you count on. You better listen to me. You count on what God says. You can count on the agreement of God. What God agrees, what God has said in the oath, what God has said in the covenant, it will happen. Now, whether you keep it or not, it's going to happen. Amen. This crowd here took, and that's what's happening in this day and time. There's no commitment to covenant. There's no commitment to oaths. There's no commitment to vows. Listen. People listen today. Even Israel, my friend, they broke the law of God. They broke the covenant of God. They didn't stay with God the way they said they would. But I'm telling you, God never left them. Amen. Even though God, my friend, for a while divorced them. Even though God, my friend, amen, listen. Hey, God put them aside for a while. You better be glad He did. Amen. He done it. Thank God He could look to us. Amen. And send His own Son. Thank God to buy a bride with His blood. Amen. That He'll have a New Testament church. Thank God on earth. And it ain't about a nation this morning. It's about His own church. Amen. What God told Jeremiah was, I'm going to bless Israel again. But I'll tell you what else He showed him. He showed him there's a new covenant. And it ain't after your fathers. It's after, listen. Who's it after? Who's the new covenant after? The new covenant's after the Messiah. Look in the chapter 33, verse 15. He said, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. He's talking about Christ the Messiah. If you look back to the new covenant, listen, friend. There ain't a man in here, and there ain't a woman in here, and there never has been, beside one man, which is a Christ. Hey, God has ever been able to keep the law that God gave. The law is holy, just, and good. Ain't nothing wrong with the law, friend. The law's a good law. Amen, brother and listen. But the law condemns us. The law kills us. The law can't do nothing for us. Hey, God, friend, that's why He had a new covenant. Had a new covenant in His Son, thank God. And I believe you let Jeremiah see, hey God, there's a new covenant, and brother, listen, it will be Gentile people, thank God, and the new covenant, amen. Say, that's the Old Testament writing, sure it is. It's for our learning. What was set up by God in an old economy, listen, that thank God showed, thank God, what was coming. Everything was in the Son of God. Everything, every time, shadow, everything in this Bible, friend, thank God was given, amen, because the Messiah was to come, and through the Messiah, the anointed Christ, the world would have a Savior, thank God, that could be saved, and would be, thank God, to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You never would have known that had He not showed it to you. I'm telling you, people sit in the house, a place of worship today, and they have no knowledge of God, friend. No knowledge of God. Never been showed to them. Never been revealed to them. Brother, listen. It ain't believing facts. It's being revealed by the Spirit. It's God that has to show you. If God don't show you, then you'll not know it. Amen. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee. He said, I will, Jeremiah, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He said, I'm going to show them to you. Hey, Godfrey, and I'm telling you this morning, the call come before the show. The call of God come before the show. He said, call unto me. Call unto me. I'm going to tell you this. Listen to me right here. Listen to me. No man gets saved without God seeking him. Shame on a bunch of parents that try to get their children to make a profession. Right. That's because they don't want them to go to hell and they ain't got nothing to do with repentance and sin. But they'll take a Bible and they'll say, here, son, you got to believe this. Now you got to be saved. Ain't nothing wrong preaching and teaching the Word of God to them. But you leave the saving up to God. Nobody gets saved without God seeking them. Nobody wants to be saved unless God seeks them. God saves everybody that wants to be. And I tell you, get good and lost, hey, God, you'll want to be. Amen. That's exactly right. What we've done in our church house, we got a lot of lost church people. Hey, God, they say time because they done what the preacher said. They done what some soul winner said. But they didn't show or see anything from God. That's an act of God in a heart. And brother, if he don't show you, you'll not see it. Amen. That's right. And I've had them say that one time. Talking to somebody down in the garage, talking about somebody had been in church a long time, hadn't got saved. And nobody said, well, give them the plan of salvation. I said, God help, they've been in church all their life. They've heard the Word of God. What do you mean? Christ is the plan. He's the man Christ. You don't get saved unless he shows himself to you. The woman at the well never knew who he was until he said, I to speak unto him, he. And when he revealed himself to her, hey, gosh, she left her water pot, ran back to the city, and said, come see a man that told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? Hey, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You know what people think about this kind of preaching? They'll say, he's about preaching this impossible. You in the right station right here. This is what he said. With men, it's impossible. Now, I don't know if you agree with this. It don't matter what I'm saying right. When that rich man bowed at Jesus, he said, good master, what must I do to her eternal life? Jesus said, well, keep the commandments. He said, I've come from my youth up. He named them, you know, adultery and covetousness and honor your father and mother. He said, them have I observed from my youth up. That's what the man told Jesus. And Jesus said, well, you lack one thing. You go sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you come follow me. Now, whether you agree with this or not, I'm telling you this is the God's truth. Jesus told that man something he couldn't do. And you couldn't repent. And you couldn't believe until he gave you grace and opened your heart to believe what he said. Here's what he said. With men, that's impossible. With God, all things are possible. What he's saying there is that young man or that ruler could be saved, but he wouldn't look to God for the possibility of it. Hey, God, he thought about what he had to do instead of what I can do. You say, how in the world can a man conceive that in his own brain, Grace? How in the world could Joel Hyatt live a life, and I'm talking about myself, for 23, 24 years, after sin, the flesh, the world, the devil, know nothing about God, went to the Methodist church growing up, was born as, thank God, watching some Star Trek show. I know I'd get y'all's attention back there. He said he wasn't my friend no more one day when I told him I didn't watch Star Trek. Really? Methodist church was boring. I'd rather watch Star Trek. Brother Shane. Went to the Lutheran church to play softball. It was boring. What? I don't understand why anybody goes to them churches. There's nothing to it. I went because I wanted to play ball for them, and the guy said, join the church. I said, all right, what do I do? He said, put your suit on, come forward, just say, I will, and I ask you a question, I'll turn you around, you join the church. He said, you ever been baptized? I said, I sprinkled when I was in the Methodist church. He said, that'll do. I went up to the church, and that man up there in that robe, amen, said, this man's come to join the church. He said, this is what he said. I'm just telling you, I wasn't that great of a softball player, but I was pretty decent. And he said, we got him for free agent market. That's what he said. That's how I joined the church. Eddie Pless said that. And I joined the church. They come down and shook my hand. I become a member going to hell like he was. A man that can't tell me the truth, he don't know it. Amen. A man can't preach the truth to me. He don't know it. He don't know nothing about salvation. And there are people that's in Baptist pulpits that know not the truth of God. And I'm telling you, friend, they're still, amen, teaching the same old thing. Hey, God, and they don't believe nothing works of the Holy Ghost. It's more about a fact in the Bible than it is the force of God in your heart. So I go on and sin. My wife, I met her there. That's the best thing come out of there. And we got married there. Then I got under conviction. This old man of God started preaching to me about being born again. And the Holy Spirit interested my heart for a year. I went for a whole year listening to God's Word and trying to find this thing of truth and revelation of God. And I couldn't get it. I didn't know revelation of God. But I'm telling you one thing, God knew what I needed, but He had to get me to the end of myself before I ever got it. Amen. And then one day the Holy Spirit, after praying much in my heart, and thank God I was praying within my soul. I didn't know how to pray, but I was praying. And I was praying to God that He revealed these things to me. Why, I don't know how to be saved. I don't know how to be saved. And God didn't say He would teach me how to be saved. He just said, I'm the way. When God said, I'm the way, the Holy Spirit's light come in on me. And immediately God changed me inside out and made me a new creature in Christ. And I still tell it today, it was a miracle of God. 3 years later, God called me to preach. Still don't know how to preach. Somebody said, well, you ought to go to college. I had a pastor tell me I need to go to college to learn to preach. And I'm telling you what, friend, that ain't everybody. Nobody's ever learned to preach. You don't learn to preach. You don't go to school to preach. Amen. You're called to preach. If you're called to preach, God's the one that had to preach through you. Amen. That's right. I want to tell you, if there's anything that I can bring into this service this morning, it's the Holy Spirit that has to show you. Anything you know in the spiritual life, anything that goes on in this church, anything that's preached, anything that's said, if the Holy Spirit don't use that and speak to you and show you what it is, you never will know it. That's exactly right. It's all God, friend. And listen, Jeremiah, thank God. He said, I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. And brother, He gave him, thank God, a vision. He gave him an understanding. I'm going to do this. As far as I know, I don't even think Jeremiah's living when they went back. But I'm telling you, he's seen it, friend. He's seen it. And he's seen the new covenant that God was going to bring in. And God on a Gentile people, amen. You don't understand that this morning, that Brother Joe, you was an Italian man. That's right. And even Cornelius was of the Italian man. That's right. I mean, the thing of it was, it's not nationality. In the New Testament, it's not male or it, we're saved male or female, but we're all one in the body. Right. Amen. My wife can pray to God as good as I can because she has access like I do. Right. There's no inferiority complexes in the church. Amen. Can I tell you that? See, a lot of people want to be seen up here. That they can have people down here, but it ain't like that. We're all the same in Christ. We're all one body. Amen. Listen, friend, that's the way God set it up. Amen. That's why self-righteousness, my friend, condemned by the Lord, because it's the righteousness of God. God fulfilled in Him. Amen. What prison you in? You in the prison of sin? You in the prison of sin? You in the prison of doubt? John the Baptist laid in the prison of doubt. Well, I'm sure sad these Baptist people have to try to cover up what somebody did. Oh, John, he wasn't doubting. Yeah, he doubted. You ever doubted? Yeah, I've doubted. You ever doubted? Yeah, you doubted. You doubted. He laid in the prison of doubt. He said, is this the one or we look for another? John said that. Jesus said, well, I want you to go show and tell him. I want you to go down there and tell him that thank God the blind got their sight back. The lame, thank God, being able to walk. The leper's been cleansed. Amen. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I'm hey, John. You know what? There's people that sit in a Baptist church every Sunday that sat in the prison of doubt. I don't know. I hope I'm saved. I don't know if God will hear me or not. And you live in that prison of doubt. And I'm going to tell you what, you'd be surprised this morning. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised if God uncapped the thoughts of humanity that sit in this place to see what people battle. And can I tell you this? Everybody battles it. And don't you think that you're the only one. I'm going to say this, I'm through. William Cowper, he wrote the song, "There is a fountain filled with blood," drawn from Emmanuel's veins. But if you read about William Cowper's life, William Cowper lived under heavy stress. He was declared insane at one time. William Cowper. In fact, they put him in an insane, a place of where they send people for insanity. And he thought, this is why William Cowper was like that. He thought God got mad at him and that God was angry with him and he was going to put him in hell. That's what he thought. But he ended up God blessing that man. He wrote several songs and he was a poet. He wrote some of the most beautiful poems about the grace of God in his darkest days. Now, let me tell you this morning. I hope you'll grab a hold of this and I hope the maturity of the Spirit will give you this. Don't never judge things by what you see with this physical eye. And I'm going to ask you this. Think of this here. What group of people said, he can't be a God? He healeth on the Sabbath day. What about that man's struggle with sin? What about that man's struggle with doubt? What about that man's struggle with things that he's facing in his own personal life? And you know what people will step back and say? He must not be right with God. No, you might be the one that's not right with God. Because it's God that, that's right. God is Job's friends. God worketh in you both the will and do of His good pleasure. And if God has to send you through the sifter of Satan to get the good out of you and me, remember Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan had a desire to have you and sift you as wheat. A sifter, something I never have sifted nothing. Them women, though, they put that flour and they sift it. You know what I'm saying? But all the good comes out. All the other stuff don't come out because he's got to sift you. You sit in a worry in a pew because the preacher, he's fired up and he acts like he's mad at everybody. That one little boy said one time, what's the preacher mad about today? He got to do it. It just got to do with the emotion of what's in me. But the fact of it is, friend, God's going to allow you to be sifted in life. Thank God that He can prove His glory and grace in you. Thank God to a world that He is God in you. And no matter what you're going through, somebody can say, I had a preacher one time, and he's a good man, and he's going through much discouragement and depression. And I sat in his office, and he said, preacher, he said, I don't even know I'm saved. I said, well, come on, brother. Who done that for you? Amen. He said, I don't know. He said, I'm just under attack. I said, brother, listen, everybody, I've been through that before. I've laid in my bed at night. Amen. And had wrestlings within. Hey, God, I said, come on, preacher. God's still God. It ain't based on you. It's based on Him. Amen. That man will tell you today, he said, that night the Lord helped me. You know why? Because I didn't go to judge him. I go to help him. And I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that only can help you if you'll call on Him. Call, if you're lost this morning, you can call on Him. If you're lost, you can call on Him. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a call for salvation, desperation in your heart. Notice this, I've got to finish. Call unto me, Jeremiah, and I will answer thee. And I'll show you great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And I'll say this, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it because I believe it. The reason this young lady and the reason that young lady is married to who they married to is because long years ago you told me you set out to pray for them. And the young lady that sits over there with that son of yours,
yes,
little Keith, is because you said you made a specific prayer to God. I will call upon thee.
Yep.
And that's why they sat in the house of God today, because God set that thing up. And I'm going to tell you what, can I tell you this? I wish I could jump. There ain't nothing too hard for them, and there's nothing too impossible. And the problem with you and me is we live by sight so much we forgot that God can do all things. I appreciate you staying with me this morning.